Now, just staying in the boiler room a little bit longer, could you just describe for me briefly the chain grate stokers which fed the coal into the boilers?
Yeah, there are several ways of firing, of getting the fuel into the boiler with coal. You can do it either the way it was done or is done or used to be done on coal-fired steam engines, and that is to open the fire door and physically shovel it, shovel by shovelful, onto the bed, and then give it a bit of a rake and rely on the rattling of the steam engine of the engine as it runs along the line to shake it, the fuel through and drop the ash out. Or you can use a mechanical device to feed the coal across the grate, the burning grate, or you can pulverise the coal and blow it in a fluid, in what is in effect a fluid fashion. And the more modern stokers, or the current stoker arrangements, is to use pulverised fuel to blow it in, and it becomes a highly explosive mixture, in fact, and you've got to watch what you're doing, otherwise you finish up with explosions. The sort of thing that applies in grain silos and in sugar handling. And there was a case up in Queensland last season where there was an explosion in the sugar silo. Now, so the stokers that were in the powerhouse here were what are called chain grate stokers. A grate, the fire bed was laid on a grate, and that was comprised of a chain link system, and at the fuel, the coal at size, it was delivered at the right size from through the rail trucks, and that was elevated into overhead hoppers, and then gravity fed into a hopper along the front of the boiler, and that hopper spread the coal just like a harvester spreader or a seed spreader or a fertiliser spreader in the agriculture that we're all familiar with. The coal was spread across the width of the grate, and then the depth of the coal bed could be adjusted by lifting a gate up and down, so that as you wanted more fuel, as the load came out of the boiler, you can do it. You could either put a bit more fuel on the grate, or you could speed the grate up. The grate was had a variable speed drive on, and in that way you finished up with an even bed of coal across the grate, which was then fed through, and by the time the coal got to the end of the grate, because it was the chain was a continuous chain and rolled around a couple of rollers at the back end of the furnace as well as the one at the front, and by the time it got to the end of the grate, it was expanded, and the ash fell into a hopper underneath.
Now, that disposal of the ashes, what happened to the ashes?
In the same way that the coal came in over the top, dumped in from the rail wagons into a hopper and elevated to hoppers over the chain grate, over the boiler house. Boiler front, the ash that fell out of the grate into the underfloor of the area was mechanically scraped together and elevated, quenched, and then elevated to the ash hopper at the top of the adjacent to the rail wagon, or, which was more usually the case, was to just dispose of it via trucks. And that was loaded around the town for all sorts of things.
Can you tell me what some of those things were, Alan?
Well, in the in the early days, building materials were in short supply for all sorts of things. One of the uses to which the material was put, the ash was put, was as a filler in non-load-bearing concrete. And so you find in a number of the buildings of that age, such as the old Parliament House, the East and West Blocks, probably the Hotel Canberra and the Hotel Kurrajong, although I couldn't vouch for those. But certainly I know that in the Parliament House there are some elements of that building where a layer of coke breeze, lightweight concrete, is laid over the top of precast, or was laid over the top of the precast concrete element.
So it's basically acting as an aggregate in the
mixture. As an aggregate. Another use was in the building area was to provide a filler and an architectural decoration on the outside of houses. And in the older parts of the town, Manuka Forest, or Blandfordia as it was called in those days, Kingston, and in the inner north, I guess Reed, Braddon, perhaps up into Ainslie, in those older brick buildings where the bricks, outside brick surface was not used as or left bare, but a coating was put over it, you'll find a ruffled surface, a dimpled rough plaster cast surface on the outside, and the material that was used in that was coke breeze, the aggregate.
So it's the ashes are known as coke breeze.
The coke, of course, is the end of a different use of coal. Coke is produced when the coal is heated with a minimum amount of oxygen, minimum amount of air, and the volatiles are driven off, and you finish up with a porous carbon material, which is a smokeless fuel, very high in carbon. And that's used in steelwork. It used to be in steelmaking. It used to also be used in for high temperature fires for blacksmithing, farrier work, and also for domestic heating. But the ash out of the coke, of course, was a bit knobbly. Although there was a fair amount of dust in it, it was a bit knobbly. And so the combination, the idea coke breeze, the term coke breeze was the term which was applied to what was left out of the firing of coke or coal.
Mm-hmm. But just before we leave the boiler room of the powerhouse, can you tell me what it was like to be in, you know, the temperature and noise and the smell? Can you describe that for me?
Oh, yes. But just before I go off the coke, the ash, that was used also for ground filling, for surfacing, for playing fields, for tennis courts, for driveways, for all those sorts of things.
Around Canberra?
Around Canberra. Oh, yes, there's a lot of it used. Because what it did was to lay the mud, and you could get a decent surface. It got a bit squashy during the wet weather.